With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, my soul brothers and sisters. Welcome, soul brethren, I should say. Welcome to the Soul Sisters Podcast. I'm your host, Jessie Katz. And today we have an amazing artist named Georgia Knott on the show. Georgia is one half of the brother-sister duo Broods. You might be very familiar with her from that. She now is fronting a solo project called The Venus Project. And under that name, she put out a new album on March 8th, which was International Women's Day, which made her the perfect guest for us to have on this show because Georgia did an amazing thing. She got together a group of all women collaborators to make this album with her. And it is a kick-ass, soulful, beautiful, thoughtful, reflective album that is very different from Broods, is very much her own badassery happening on a record. We loved it. We loved having her in the studio to talk to us about it, how it all came to be, what her lyrics mean, what she's talking about, and why she felt like it was so important to make an album with other awesome women collaborating. So all the things that you come to Soul Sisters for in one episode right here. Just a reminder, guys, if you are not already, please follow us on iTunes by subscribing to the show, Soul Sisters. And you can also watch these episodes on Billboard's YouTube channel. We film them right here in the studio, two cameras up in our faces, making us sit kind of awkwardly around the small table we have in the archive closet. But just so if you want, you can see these amazing artists that you love to listen to here in our studio. Yes, that is the summary of how and where to find us. And you already have, clearly, because you're listening to my voice right now. Happy to have you back here. Hope you enjoy this episode with Georgia Knott of Broods and now The Venus Project on Soul Sisters. Well, Georgia Knott, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
I definitely have wanted you on the show for a while because I'm a Broods fan, but now you have this new project that makes you actually tailor-made for Soul.
Yeah, I know. I'm so excited. I've gotten to do so many cool things like this through this project.
Yeah. Yeah. You've come out as a crazy feminist.
Yeah, I've come out of the closet.
Exactly. Yeah. Congrats.
Thank you. I feel myself again.
I'm not implying that you weren't out as a feminist before, but this project places that front and center. So.
Yeah, I think for me, it actually took a little while for me to, because I'm 23 and like I've been in this industry, in the music industry for like 4 years. And it took a while for me to figure out what my place was as a feminist in the industry.
Yeah.
I knew that I wanted to do something that, you know, expressed how I felt about what's going on in the world these days, but also find a way to do it in a creative musical way that, you know, I could marry like two things that are really important to me, especially at a time like this, into something that was an actual project.
Right. I mean, 4 years is not that long that out. That's actually very impressive, I would say. It's taken some people decades, and they're still not really there.
I know. I feel like I was seeing so many people around me, like, in the industry, like, doing it very well, very quickly, and I was like, shit, I need to figure out, like, how am I going to be, like, out there and, like, stand for what I believe in? And I'm so happy that it's turned out in this way and that I've been able to to this project.
Yeah. So the Venus Project is what we're talking about. Yes. What is your connection with Venus as a planet, as a goddess, all the things?
I mean, it just sounds so cool.
It does.
It just sounds cool. But yeah, I mean, I didn't want to call it Georgia Knot.
Yeah.
So, no, it's kind of boring.
Which I guess is what normally would happen for someone in a band to do a side project, just call it after yourself to make that difference.
Yeah, but I didn't want it to be like end with me, start with me, end with me. I wanted it to be like about more than that. I wanted it to be able to branch out to whoever and be more of a collective thing.
Right. Yeah. So right now the Venus Project is the name of the album, but it's also a larger idea that you're hoping will be ongoing.
It's a movement. It's a revolution.
I'm manifesting that in my my dreams every night. Yeah, I mean that would be amazing. I mean, like, I think what I've created is very me in particular to like my taste in music and my my things that I need to express as a musician. But I'd love for other people that write other kinds of music and express themselves in different ways within music to be able to have this project and to do something with this project as well. So maybe depending on the reception on the 8th of March, I'll be able to kind of extend out some more branches and invite as many women as possible to be a part of it.
Yeah, that's awesome. So let's talk about what inspired it. I was thinking of you, I was just in a meeting with three men, and I was like, oh, this is the feeling of being the only woman in the room. This happens all the time.
I mean, this was something that you had been feeling and thinking before, you know, the past year or so. Like, throughout your career, you've been seeing that and feeling
I mean, I just thought it was so normal for a long time. I just thought, oh, well, I mean, I'm just the exception, but
to be the only woman who's in the studio, who's on tour,
that's kind of how I saw it. Was like, maybe I'm the exception to this like man only rule.
When did it dawn on you that was a problem?
I think, I mean, there wasn't one moment or anything, but it just started to make me think a little bit, and I started to notice it a little bit more, and then I started to talk to people, other women in the industry, not only the music industry but others as well, and they were feeling the same way, and I was like, oh, so I'm not weird. And once I started to notice it, I started to notice it everywhere, and you know, even just like looking at movie posters or billboards or like or TV and everything seems in our society seem to be like holding women in this place where they're like lucky to be involved type attitude. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, no, thank you. Uh-huh. And so I just decided that my way of trying to combat that was to do a project with all women and be like, look, we can hold our own actually. And it's been really fun, and it's been really different for me because I've been able to explore like a different kind of music, and I've been able to collaborate with people in a different way, in a very intimate way, in a very honest way. Not that I don't get to do that because I work with my brother anyway, so it's very comfortable there, but it's just a different type of fire that you start in yourself when you work with other women that feel the same way as you.
Yeah. I was wondering how that dynamic plays out in Broods with your brother in terms of, like, if you have to fight to be heard more.
Nah.
not by him, but with him, by other people. Like, if you're talking to someone, if they automatically go to him for an answer instead of you, that kind of thing, which can happen.
Yeah, I mean, like, for me and Caleb, our relationship as a creative team is always super equal, and it has been since we were kids. Like, I didn't know that, like, boys got more opportunities, or, like, I kind of did, but I didn't know that, like, I didn't think that he was better than me. I didn't think that he was stronger than me. I didn't think that he was more talented or creative than me.
Because that wasn't the attitude within your family.
No, and it wasn't. Yeah. And it wasn't his attitude towards me either. Mm-hmm. Which I think maybe is one of the reasons why I've been able to come to that self empowerment so much quicker than maybe I might have. But when the thing that really bothers me is what I used to actually like when I went into the studio, and I'd come up with an idea and I'd start to express myself, and I'd be build up confidence and start to be myself, and then everybody in the room would be surprised that I was doing well.
Uh-huh.
Or I'd get into the vocal booth and I'd, they were oh my God, you just did so well. And I'm yeah, I mean,
why wouldn't I?
It's my job.
It's my job. Or I'd come up with something real deep and meaningful, or I'd just be fast paced working, and I would be really passionate, and everybody's kind of sitting back whoa. And I'm you know, and I think when I was 19 and I came into the industry, I thought that was such a cool feeling to prove people wrong, and then I started to feel
old.
Never not proving people wrong. I was never not being faced with that look of surprise, and I mean, I don't think that it should be a surprise that I've made this album with a bunch of women. One day, hopefully, there'll be heaps of projects that have been led by women and express the perspective of women. Yeah. And maybe people won't care anymore because it'll just be normal.
Normal, right. Let's talk about how intentional you had to be about making sure that it was all women's hands were on this album.
Right, and when we're talking about all women, we're talking behind the scenes, because it's only you as a performer, is that right?
Myself and my friend Camila, who's co-produced pretty much the whole record with me.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, the all-female is all of the production, the team, everyone...
Yeah.
That normally is male, but it's the behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that I have never worked with women in broods, because I've worked with female producers and I've worked with female masters, mm-hmm. and I've worked with female artists and stuff.
Which is unusual to work with,
Yeah.
Yeah, we often talk to women on the show who have never worked with a woman producer.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is crazy. So common. And I mean, when it comes to being, I don't know, I wanted every aspect to be an expression of woman, not just, oh, yeah, I have this woman playing, guitar or whatever. I wanted other people to have their input of what they feel like they wanted to express as a woman. The artwork was such an awesome part of it, because working with the woman who did the visual artwork for the Venus Project, her name's Ashley Lukaszewski, and she's you look on her Instagram, which is Ash Luka Draws, and everything she makes is super this is what I think. And super political, and super, it's not conservative whatsoever. It's very these are my views.
Yeah.
Did you know her, or did you just contact her from Instagram?
Well, my flatmate is really good friends with her, and so she was you should get Ashley to do the artwork. And then I was yeah, actually, I should. And then working with her and talking about how she draws women, and she draws women in a very ambiguous way. She doesn't draw women in this 2018 ideal look. She draws them very colorful and voluptuous and strong, and she draws women with leg hairs, which is funnily
still
enough,
shocking.
I know. I hate to break it to everybody out there, but we've actually got hair on our legs. And I think
we just lost a bunch of listeners. Can't handle it. It's okay. They'll come back. Yeah. They'll go do their own investigation. And be
it's
like,
just like, oh no,
right.
One of those feminists, yeah. The hairy ones.
And they're like burning their bras on this podcast.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even own bras anymore.
Fuck yeah.
But, yeah?
Well, that's because I got tiny tits. Like, I don't really care. Oh, like,
yeah, you're awesome. Like, why am I doing that? I don't
I'm
need
like,
it.
So great.
Yeah. Every time I wear one, I'm like,
no.
Nope.
Oh. I'm much more comfortable with that.
Yeah.
So nice.
I was going to actually ask you to shout out all the women who worked on this album, because I think an important lesson here is that you have to, sometimes you do have to do a little bit more work to find the right woman that for the job that you're looking to fill. But it's because we haven't been given as many opportunities. Mm-hmm. So there aren't fewer of us because we're not as capable biologically or by nature, but it's because we just haven't had as many doors open for us. So you need to really look and bring up women when you can. So I would love for you to just shout out the amazing women that you worked with. So anyone listening who needs to work with someone like that, now they can have some names, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it was really hard for me to find people that were one, like, available to like into what I was doing, not only like everybody that I talked to was into this whole like all female album idea, but into the music that I was making and wanted to like, you know, make that kind of music with me or express that kind of artistry with me. So I worked on the actual music with one of my best friends, Camila Mora, who plays keys for Broods. And another awesome, awesome producer called Ceci Gomez. And we just did the whole thing ourselves. Nice. And then...
They're in LA?
Yeah, they're both in LA. Camila lives 5 minutes from my house, so that's really great.
In LA, that's critical.
I know.
Detail.
Yeah, I don't really go anywhere else. but yeah, Ashley did the artwork, as I said. It was mixed by this awesome... chick who's been in the game for ages, Adrian Gonzalez, and mastered by Emily Lazar, who's actually New York based, and she's like has a mastering log, and she actually mastered the last Broods record as well. Nice. So that was easy. Hey, you want to do it again? And then I got to work with one of my best mates, Katie LaFoon, on photography, and it's not that hard to find female makeup artists. They're everywhere and they're awesome. But I worked with this awesome Kiwi chick, Amber D. And then making the video was a huge thing for me because, you know, every time I go onto set, it's usually like men behind the camera, and I'm supposed to be like vulnerable and expressive, and sometimes it's quite like intense to feel like you can be that, like, because I don't know, I feel like a need to kind of prove myself and compensate for my femininity. But we made a video for Won't Hurt, the first single, and actually another New York based girl, Morgan Grewer, I think that's how you say it.
That's a good American.
Grewer. She directed it with like this awesome cinematographer, Kayla. I don't even know people's last names. I'm just like, hi. And like
that's enough information for people to Google.
Right. Yeah, but like even like production designer and like gaffers and. You know, like,
so you went all the way down to gaffer level.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, there were some parts like we had like I think 3 men on set out of like maybe 15.
That's awesome.
Full female cast, and it was incredible. Like, it was one of the most emotional like video shoots I've ever done because of the concept of the video was very like close to home for me, and obviously the music is, and the project is very. Personal to myself, but it was pretty amazing. Like, I felt like I was gonna like cry the whole time because I was so like happy and like so excited to be able to do a video in that way.
Yeah. Can you describe what felt different about being on a set with mostly women?
I think I felt like, personally, I felt like I was a boss.
Yeah.
I felt like, you know, people were asking me for my opinion, and people were like going to me for what I thought or what I wanted to do. And like Morgan and I like got to work together so like collaboratively on this video that it was so cool. Like I was like sitting there behind her, like standing there behind her, like watching each shot and like giving my giving my input. And like sometimes there have been times, especially when I was first came into the industry, where I'm on set and I'm like, am I doing it right? Like,
right.
I was like, no, this is how I'm doing it.
Yeah. No, that's huge. Yeah. I direct some stuff, and my creative partner and I have been trying to have an increasingly female crew. And we started with an entirely male crew, the first stuff we were shooting. And it was constantly that feeling of like,
are you going to listen to me?
Yeah. And like, I have to ask your advice for every decision that I want to make. And I have to kind of run it through all the checks of all the guys on set. And the more we work with women, the more collaborative it does seem to feel.
Yeah.
I'm not saying all men. I've also worked with wonderful men. But there's something about when the ratio switches, especially for women directors, it feels, I don't know, it's just, there's more breathing.
Yeah.
You know?
But I think, like, once you figure out that you have that in you, like, I did not know how like confident I could be in my own abilities or my own ideas or my own creativity until I did this project.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, like the decisions were mine to make, and to be like kind of chucked into that by myself. Yeah. I chucked myself into this. Like I learned so much about what I could handle as just a human being, and what I could handle as like a creative person, what I could, you know, step up and do, because I'd literally just given myself the opportunity that I hadn't had before.
Yeah. Good for you. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about a few specific tracks on the album, because you wrote a beautiful little explainer about each of them.
Oh, yes,
I did.
So I
just want to kind of like get into the weeds about some of these, because they're very like universal ideas that you're exploring in specific ways. So one of them is for Need Want. You wrote, it's about feeling out of place in your own life, your home, but you feel like no one knows you, which is such a well-articulated feeling that resonated with me. Can you talk about?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote that song with Camila. We just like, she just sat down at the piano and she started playing, and I was like, this whole record has kind of been in the same formula as well, like where I've just sat down and I've said like, just let everything come out the way that I wanted it to come out. And I remember like just singing, I was like, okay, this is what I've got. And then I like sang it out to her, and she's just sitting there like, yes, yep. She's just like agreeing with everything I'm saying, because I think like for me, there is like everybody, I think everybody goes through these stages of feeling like you have no idea like whether people are actually seeing who you think you are, like or whether you feel like these people that know you actually know you. And And everybody goes in there, and I can see everybody's in their little bubbles of like, nobody understands me. And it's like,
what brings about that feeling for you? Because sometimes I experience that when nothing has changed in my life.
Exactly.
It's all the same setting, all the same people, and all of a sudden I feel like I've ghosted my own life.
I know. I do it all the time.
Yeah. What is it? How do I understand it?
I think I get myself into that position so much.
Yeah.
Because I like go into my own world so much, and I almost like see how isolated I can make myself before I go mental.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and sometimes like it's almost like I'm doing like a social experiment on myself sometimes.
Yeah.
Where I'm just like, how crazy can I go without like being
losing it.
You know, like put into hospital.
Right.
but yeah, like I think, especially going to and from New Zealand and like having a life here and having a life in New Zealand, that's like the person that I grew up as and the person that I am today. You know, everybody kind of expects you to just magically just like be the same person forever. And it's like, I think a lot of people, especially when you leave home and you start to decide like who you're going to be as your own individual person, everybody that you've known so far is always going to have like some sort of opinion of who that that person ends up being. And I think that was that's like a huge feeling for me, is like feeling like I can keep evolving without like other people thinking that I'm you've changed, like or like
yeah
that kind of totally. thing. Because yeah, I do change all the time, and like to feel like I can still hold like who I used to be and like love who I used to be and like respect that, but also not hold myself from becoming who I'm meant to be, is it's kind of this weird like balancing act that you feel.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Sometimes you have no idea where you should be, you know, putting more weight in.
Right. I just realized that I'm totally sympathizing with a feeling that I think is very appropriate for a 23-year-old and maybe less so for a 35-year-old, but fuck it, whatever.
No, but I don't think so.
Some of the stuff never changes.
I think it's part of being human, which is like when you've been settled in a place for a period of time, then whatever it is kicks in and says, but you have to worry about this and this and this, and things are not just going along.
I don't think you come out of that phase. You just hit it and it's forever.
Right. And there's a level where you're like, where you're younger and you're saying, what is my life? Right. And then when you know what your life is, there's still all these tiny
people will never stop telling you what your life should be.
And you never stop feeling like you need to figure it out.
Like, you know what you need?
Right.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't tell me.
Yeah. Okay, I feel better.
What? One of the songs I loved, the theme of was the Sunday Scaries song, Take Me Out.
Yeah.
I loved that phrase because we all know what that is.
Yeah.
The idea of like just that that dread that sets in on Sunday when you have to then face
But it's because
that feeling was more about like being at the end of a thing, at the end of a night, at the end of... You know, everyone's going home, everyone's going back to what they're doing, and it's late, and you have to face the idea that tomorrow I have to do what I have to do again, which is hard, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it, and all of these things that stand in your way. So that idea, and putting that in the box of, like, Sunday scares, it's a great thing we can all relate to.
My friends and I always talk about the Sunday scaries.
Love that.
Just because, I mean... There are obviously like moments, and I've noticed like since I moved to LA 2 years ago, and there's so much to do and there's so many people to hang out with and there's parties and and it's like I feel like I got like a year and I'm like, what is going on? I'm like, because I just kind of said yes to like being like way more outgoing than I usually have been, and I was just saying yes to everything. I was like, yeah, YOLO, and then I just keep hitting these like moments where I'm like, and like my friends would be feeling the same way, thank God, because then we just like sit down and be like,
commiserate.
Are you feeling like really shitty?
Yes.
I've seen like it in a lot of people, and I've been like guilty of it myself, is kind of trying to numb that feeling by more like distractions and more like, you know, putting the real world off for this fantasy land, like
What is that? Like, partying? Like, what is the fantasy like?
Just pretending that you don't have responsibilities, basically. Yeah, so, like, parties and, like, just going to, like, festivals and, like, being like, yes, this can be my life forever.
But, I mean, that comes back to the age thing where, like, there should be a time when you have that and you are in a place in your career where, you know, you've established something super solid. You're young. You can do that almost. Like, you should be going to festivals and taking that in, right? Mm. I mean, it's funny that you have that kind of guilt about
it. Yeah, but I mean, it's more when I just put my own, like, sanity and my own, like, mental health on the line by, like, keeping on putting myself in these situations where I'm, like, you know, not sleeping or I'm not, like, I'm putting, like, a bunch of shitty stuff in my body.
She's about 10 years ahead of where we were.
Well, yes, I've suffered from this my entire life. The guilt and the anxiety and the roller coaster.
Well, I mean, like, you want to be able to, I think, for especially if you are a person that is super sensitive to energies and you put yourself out there and you, like, open your heart to, like, all this craziness and you're, like, absorbing so much. And then when that goes away, it feels like this ginormous hole that's like, oh my God, I feel like a shell right now.
Also, I will say, I also moved to LA a few years ago and since moved back, but I had an amazing first year in LA. It was like one big party honeymoon, like going to the beach, going to the mountains, like did it all, didn't stop. And after a year, all of a sudden I felt very empty.
Yeah.
I was like, this is fun, but wait, what's my life? What is real life? This is not real life.
Yeah. Were you not getting things done?
No.
I mean, that's the thing. When there's
I was having
beach,
a great time.
How do you
but
get things done when there's a beach?
I know.
I got better at it.
I could not be a filmmaker.
But definitely a
in
year
LA.
Flew by and I had not done anything productive.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's like a similar feeling that I got. And then that's when I was just like, should I need to actually do this project that I've been telling myself and other people that I'm going to do?
Also because you're surrounded by other people in the industry, so you feel like you're still in it, and you're always talking about creative stuff.
Yeah, I'm totally successful. I'm into a party with such and such.
Well, but in a way, that is part of your work, is to like maintain
networking.
This
oh,
networking.
Some people, that's their job in LA.
Right, totally.
But it doesn't come to much unless you're also doing the work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
of course. You can get wasted together, but it's probably not going to result in a job. It doesn't usually work out that way. Sometimes.
But I'm curious what your circle of friends and like what your social life is there, because you moved from New Zealand at what, 1920?
I was 21 when I moved from New Zealand.
Okay. So like you had to make a group of, you know, create a life without school or some infrastructure that allows you to like easily meet a group of people. Mm. It's like at this session or at, like where did you connect with what you would call a group for you? Or friends. I mean, I have a group. You know?
It's me.
Like, yeah. Yeah, you have different friends. But, you
I'm
know,
kind of like that as well. Like, I kind of, for the first year, I literally just hung out with other New Zealanders that were in the same position as me.
Right.
And I kind of still do that.
New Zealand musicians?
It's natural.
No, just New Zealanders.
Expats hang together.
Yeah. Well, but then I guess, like, I did meet other people, but I don't know, like, I get very stuck in my own life, and I just sometimes don't have the capacity to have more than three friends at a time. Yeah. Like, but, like, the people that I was,
I hear you.
Accurate. I mean, accurate. Who really does?
I don't know.
Not, like, really, really good friends go to for anything, and like, I do have that in LA, and like I had a really good group of friends, especially in the last couple of years, and people have started to move away from me. How dare they? And but yeah, like even when I did meet other people, and like it'd be cool, and like, and then you'd go out of these like alternate universes / parties / raves, whatever, and then you'd come out and you'd be like, well, I haven't gained any friends from that. I haven't gained like usually I just get so nervous about going out in public that I just get really drunk and I can't do anything and I just forget that I've met people. Don't do that.
Don't try not to do that. It's gonna happen though, and it's okay if it does.
Do you hang with your brother a lot?
Like all the time. Yeah. Okay. Well, we've got all like the same friends because we're only 2 years apart, and we always kind of have had the same group of friends, even when we were in high school. But
was it a tough decision to decide to take a break from Broods, or were you both on the same page?
Yeah, we were definitely both like feeling like what is next for Broods? We didn't know what we wanted to make next. We didn't even really know who we were at the end of the day, because we were so young when we came in, and we were so like impressionable, and I think we needed to take that time to figure out who we were and learn a little bit more about ourselves, to take some time to hone in on our craft. And Caleb's been producing his own side project, and I've been able to like push so many boundaries that I had on myself through this project. And going into album 3 for Broods now is so much more exciting, for one, and so much more like, I feel like this next album is going to be so much more of a realistic depiction of who we are as people and who we are as writers and artists. And I mean, I don't feel like we've ever been this real with ourselves. So I'm excited for that, because people are going to hear like a really different, not like completely irrelevant, but really different side to us. And I'm pumped for that. Yeah.
Does that mean more personal?
Yeah, I mean, like, I've always written pretty personal songs. Like, I think this album, the Venus Project album, is really like the peak of personal for me. But yeah, I think the things that we're singing about and the things that we're writing about in this next record for us as well is like, it's a little bit more, it's very self-reflective, and it's not really, it's more about what's going on internally rather than what's going on externally in our lives. And that's been a really cool experimental kind of, like, it's been very cool to dig deep and like create from like this internal world, and yeah, it's very internal.
Amazing. So the Venus Project comes out on International Women's Day.
Yes.
Which is awesome.
Rude not to.
Exactly. Perfect branding. Yep. Very aligned, as they say. So this episode will come out after that. So it's out now for those listening. You can go find it.
The Venus Project.
It's amazing. Sounds like there's a new Broods album that will be out at some point.
Yep. We'll make it and we'll release it.
Beautiful.
Sounds like a plan.
What more do you need than that?
That's as far as ahead as I can think right now.
That's awesome. And you're going to perform in our office now, I think. So we should let you go so that you can get set up for that.
Amazing. Yeah, I'm going to go have a sandwich.
That's eating is
first step.
Yes.
Always.
Yep. Eat before anything else.
Yeah. Been thinking about that sandwich since I woke up.
You thought we were talking about hard-hitting feminist issues, but she's been thinking about sandwiches this whole time.
I'm so good at multitasking.
All right, Georgia, thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yes, awesome. Surround myself in you, breathe it in.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.